Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good Wednesday afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's great to have you with us on this Wednesday. Tournament began last night. Tonight, another first four set up this evening with two more games, including a pair of 13 seeds, LaSalle, going head-to-head with Boise State this evening in Dayton. Then everything really kicks into high gear tomorrow with 16 games played in the second round, 16 more games in the second round on Friday, including Philadelphia. And we'll be talking a lot of college basketball today. We'll be talking with Mark Brennan from Fight On State. We'll talk about Penn State football. Second spring practice is today. And we'll also talk basketball because Mark has covered college basketball for many, many years for Fight On State. And Aaron Carter, who is the college basketball writer for the Saturday Daily Times, we will talk with him as well. In fact, he was at the Palestra and saw LaSalle against Penn State earlier this year. And we'll talk about a read on the Explorers as well as the rest of the tournament and the Big Ten. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Hilscher's General Store hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store, go to www.hilscherstore.com. Hilscher's General Store, located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. Before we get to Aaron Carter of the Center Daily Times and Mark Brennan from Fight On State, here's Above the Noise with Dan Patrick. And we'll welcome everyone to the show. Great to have you with us. As we roll through, we're going to have Aaron Carter of the Center Daily Times, the college basketball on Mark Brennan, Fight On State. Tomorrow, Jeff Byers from the NCAA Wrestling Tournament in Des Moines, where I gave Jeff a great Italian restaurant recommendation for Des Moines that I you know, because I wanted to make sure he has a good time there. And he said, which one is that? I said, Olive Garden. All right. So, and then we'll have him on tomorrow. And coming up on Friday, Tony Knopp, the CEO of Sport Ticket Enterprises, he will join us from Los Angeles about tickets and not just college basketball in the Final Four, but also tickets in general and how it's looked at across the country. What actually owners, conference commissioners, athletic departments should be looking at when it comes to tickets. And I think we're going to find some enlightening answers from somebody who controls his company, 6.5 million tickets across the country. 6.5 million tickets his company has charge of. And we're going to then on, also on Friday, talk to former Philly Bob Walk, who is now the color analyst for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So today, Aaron Carter, Center Daily Times, Mark Brennan, Fight On State. Tomorrow, Jeff Byers from the NCAA Wrestling Championships. Friday, Tony Knopp, Spotlight Ticket Enterprises, and Bob Walk. Danny, there's your lineup.
It's potent.
I mean, it works. I think it works. Yeah. So that's what we'll do. Looking forward to it very much. And how are you today, sir?
Ready to roll. Tomorrow should be an exciting day and a couple of games tonight to get through. Were you a little bit happy that Middle Tennessee went down last night?
No. I mean, there's nothing genius about it. It's just, you know, there's just something. Let me put it this way. It wasn't like I sat here and I had a solution as to who should be in instead of Middle Tennessee. How about that? All right? I didn't sit here and say, oh, well, this team should be in instead of. It's, you know, but I was just kind of taken aback by the universal love for them being in the tournament, and I didn't quite get it. I didn't get the universal love part of it.
No, okay. I hear you. One of the things that bums me, and you kind of see it in college football, too, with bowl games, where if a team gets in, then all of a sudden they don't play well, the first thing people jump on is, see, that team didn't deserve to be in. That's not the way things should be handled that way. You see in college football with teams who get snubbed from BCS games and go and lose their bowl games. And college basketball is the same way in the tournament, if teams sneak in and then get blown out or something in their first game.
Look, it's all about matchups. It's all about matchups. Are you a half-court team that doesn't match up with speed? Are there two matchups on the floor that you're uncomfortable with and three you're just fine with? It all depends on who you draw. Everything's about matchups. That's why Team A can beat Team B, Team B can beat Team C, but C can beat A. Because C may match up with A better. You don't know. Everything is about matchups and where you can exploit it. That's why, for example, when we talk about Bill O'Brien, for example, and his usage of tight ends, okay, you know what happens with his usage of tight ends? What happens? You get mismatches. Okay, a lot of times that's not a line. You know, if you put a linebacker on a 4-6 tight end, that linebacker is going to have trouble covering a tight end that runs a 4-6, 4-7. But then if you put that same tight end on a safety, you're going to get, especially if you put them in the slot, and now it's a size disadvantage. It's not a speed disadvantage, but you have a size disadvantage. So that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to find holes and you're trying to find mismatches. Well, it's the same thing in college basketball. You're trying to find holes and mismatches. They're all, and not everything's equal. And I'll give you an example. Do you realize, and when you look at the RPI, the number one RPI conference in the country is the Mountain West. Okay? You're like, wow, hey, let's ride those teams far. And then you look inside a little bit. And guess what? The Mountain West teams played 14 Division II games this year. Guess what? Playing a Division II team does not hurt your RPI. It means nothing. So in other words, if you play Binghamton, which is Division I, and you put them on your schedule, you are hurt far more by playing Binghamton than you would be by playing a Division II team. How insane is that? And the Mountain West played 14 of those. Watch Boise State tonight. Boise played two games like that this year against Corbin and Walla Walla. Now, when you look at the Big Ten, the Big Ten played two games this year against Division II teams. One, and the ACC only had one, and it's North Carolina and Illinois both played Chaminade. That was part of the Maui Classic, so you couldn't avoid that. You're playing three games or whatever, and you get into brackets, and Chaminade's in the bracket. So that's one. The other one was that Michigan State Tuskegee game where they played at Jennison Fieldhouse, and that was done of a historic moment of allowing African Americans to play a game at Michigan State. And that was done to, I think it was 50 years later. It happened back in 1963. They came up and played. They played at Jenison. They asked Tuskegee to come back. And those are the only two Division II games that were played by Big Ten teams, Chaminade and Tuskegee. ACC played one, Chaminade, same thing. North Carolina was in the Maui Invitational with Illinois. But the Mountain West played 14 games this year, and Boise State played two of them against Division II teams. And, Danny, they don't count. They count on your record, but they don't count in your RPI rank.
Yeah, I was not I did not know about that. I mean, I don't know how much you can judge that, I guess, going into the tournament. I think the Mountain West is legitimate. The teams, New Mexico, the way they play defense,
very
and
good.
They have a great backcourt, they can beat as many teams in Big Six conferences in this mm-hmm. tournament you know, the small sample size. Could they hold up in a conference like the Big Ten or even one that struggled this year in the SEC? Probably not. But in this short tournament field, I could easily see them having success, maybe sending 2-3 to the Sweet 16.
Quite possibly. You take Colton Iverson, the former Minnesota center. And when he played at Minnesota, I liked him. I mean, you know, he was a bad matchup for Penn State. Well, he's become an awful matchup out in the Mountain West. He has been one tough guy for people to go against.
Yeah, Colorado State's one of the best rebounding teams in the country. Yeah. And that game against Missouri is going to be heavy on rebounding. Both teams yes. really good on the offensive glass.
Very good in the offensive glass. And Iverson has become a really good player. And New Mexico, a team, I've watched New Mexico play a couple times now, and not just tournament. I watched them during the season because I saw how well, you know, record-wise they've been playing. So I wanted to see Steve Alford's team. They're good. They're good. They're versatile. They have some really good athletes on the floor. They can shoot the three. They're good. Now, there's certain things that when you do your brackets, be wary of. Florida. Like, well, why? You know, because a lot of people have Florida going to the Final Four. Which I understand they've had a very good year. But do you realize that they have not won a single game this year that was decided by 9 points or less?
I was aware.
I mean, no wins 9 points or less. And they have one win by 10 points. Hey, everything else. Okay? Double digits. If the game was decided by 9 points or less, they lost. That's amazing.
And you look at their best wins on paper are Wisconsin and Marquette, which are two, you know, great wins now. But that was a Marquette team struggling mm-hmm. without one of their guards who was suspended at the beginning of the year. And then it was a Wisconsin team still kind of trying to figure themselves out, you know, without playing mm-hmm. without Gosser being hurt or without Gosser on the floor because of his ACL injury. So their best wins came in November. And since then, there isn't anything out there right. resume-wise that they've done in the calendar year of 2013.
And Brusewitz, by the way, was still trying to come back at that point from that massive cut he had in his leg when he hit the standard in practice. That's why you see Mike play. You know, we kid about Carrot Top all the time. Well, you'll see he'll wear a sleeve on his leg. That's to cover up the cut that he got. There's a pretty good scar there. And so when you see Mike play, that's the reason why. It is, you know, this is something that when you have time like this, it's like a football game where you analyze it and analyze it and analyze it. Because we've had days to analyze it. Now tonight, LaSalle, I'm going with LaSalle to win. I've seen Boise play, by the way. And I like him. I think Boise's really good. The key will be if both Duren and Galloway get going, then you can see LaSalle win. Now, the big kid in the middle, who was really good against Penn State, has been hurt. The Jermaine Marshall's old high school teammate. He's been hurt. But if the two guards, along with Wright, and Wright did not play well against Penn State, but Galloway and Duren really did. By the way, LaSalle's going to play Penn State next season in the Jordan Center. They will, I'm going to go with LaSalle to win this and get through. Aaron Carter, Center Daily Times basketball writer, next to break down the brackets. Mark Brennan in the 4 o'clock hour from Fight On State. Tomorrow, Jeff Byers, NCAA Wrestling Tournament. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Two more 16s go head-to-head tonight. But the one that's of interest is the 2-13s tonight, Boise State and LaSalle. Time now to talk a little bit more about the NCAA men's basketball tournament. We bring in the fine basketball writer for the Center Daily Times, Aaron Carter. AC, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, so we fill out the brackets. And when you fill out the brackets, we'll start with your Final Four. Who do you have in it?
Right now, and this is tentative. This is tentative. I still have a little
Anytime
bit of time.
We start out with right now, That's confidence,
Aaron.
You
got to leave yourself some wiggle room, Steve. You have to.
I mean, does right now mean that when we talk again next Wednesday, there's a new right now?
Hey, it might be.
I changed my final four the day before it.
Right now, I have Louisville, Georgetown, Miami, and Ohio State. Right now.
Okay.
That's subject to change.
Okay. Who then becomes in each bracket your dark horse and why?
Dark horses. I think, let me see, in the Midwest, who do I have here? It's not really a dark horse, but Michigan State kind of intrigues me. I know they're a three seed, but I like them over. I have them matched up late against Duke. I think their athleticism and their size, I think, will cause a lot of teams problems in that bracket. I also have over in the South, I have VCU. I have VCU taking out Michigan in the second round, and I have Villanova taking out UNC early.
Ah.
I think I like Villanova the way they're playing, the way Jay Wright has that team turned around late in the season. I like what they're doing.
Michigan is a disaster defensively. I mean, they're just not a good defensive team. I mean, they have. I think it's one of the reasons John hasn't gone 1-3-1 is I don't think. I bet when they practice it doesn't look good, but their guard play, especially with Burke against Havoc, I'm not so sure that helps Havoc. I think Havoc gets burned by Burke.
I'm not sure. What I don't like about Michigan is exactly what you touched on. They just have a passing acquaintance with defense, and I don't think that gets it done in the tournament. You know, in the tournament, you never know what can happen. Your offense can dry up, and so your defense has to be able to sustain you for a couple minutes.
Right.
And I don't think they have that.
No, I agree with you. I don't think they have that either, unless suddenly they're brought into the defensive water from Lourdes. I don't think that's going to happen at all. Okay, so then you go VCU, then you say Villanova, North Carolina. You like Villanova.
I do like Villanova. I like what Jay Wright's done with that team. He's got them turned around. You know, they got off to a sketchy start, but he's got them turned around lately. And I think when you're hot going in the tournament, I think that can help you. I think that could propel you. And Carolina, Carolina's a young team. I'm not so sure how they're going to react to the pressure of the tournament.
Interesting. Okay, other Big Ten teams. Minnesota, a lot of people love them against UCLA because Adams, of course, is out. Yet Minnesota, for the last month and a half, has been doing everything they can to get out of the tournament.
Yeah, Minnesota's a team that I kind of offensively, I liken them a little bit to Illinois, mm-hmm. Where shot selection becomes a big problem for them. Illinois is a team, Brandon Paul, DJ Richardson, they're athletic enough to get any shot they want, but that's not necessarily a good shot. And I think Minnesota's in that same boat sometimes with Hollins and Rodney Williams. I think what helps them is Trevor Mbakwe down low. I think that a guy that strong and physical, I think he causes problems down there. I actually have them beating UCLA because, like you said, Adams is out. Shabazz Muhammad, you never know, freshman tournament, you know, could come out and shoot 5 for 22. You know, and if he does that, UCLA could be in trouble.
Are the first four NCAA tournament games, in your opinion, or are they play-ins? Brian says they're a play-in.
You know, I would have to agree with Brian. I'd have to agree. I think it's a play-in. I don't understand the new format. I don't want it. I liked it at 64. Uh-huh. I'm not sure about it at 68. I definitely don't want it to see it to go to 98 or 100 and whatever. I like 64. It's a nice even number. Keep it that way. I say that they're play-ins.
Well, I'm going to be interested to see what they do with the America 12. Because, you know, the America 12 is going to have an automatic bid. And the reason the field went from 64 to 65 is that when the Mountain West broke away from the WAC, that was the 31st automatic bid. And in order to keep, at that time, 34 automatic bids, 34 at-large bids, they added the extra game. I wonder what they're going to do now with the America 12 give them an automatic bid. Do they add another game? Another team? Field the 69? I don't know. Nobody's brought that question up.
It's an interesting question. It all just kind of comes back to all the sports, and I'll call college basketball a professional sport for a second, to lump them in with the NFL when they talked about going to an 18-game regular season. It's all about, you know, adding more games, adding more dollars. I liked it the way it was. You know, I didn't think there was any problem with it. Do you want to see 98? Do you want to see 93 or whatever else they're talking about?
I mean, do I? No, yeah. I don't. In fact, when they were talking about 96, was it 2 years ago? I had advocated 68.
And here's the thing. This year, there aren't any teams, realistically, that have a gripe about not being in. So if you're going to go 69, 74, who would you put in? None of the teams that were left out can make a realistic argument that they deserve to be one of the top teams in the country.
My point is, precedent was set when the Mountain West broke away from the WAC. Now the Big East and the America 12 are now going to be separate entities. A precedent was set for when you take away an at-large with an automatic. Nobody's asked that question yet, which I am very surprised no one has asked that question yet. This is where you come in, Aaron. You can get on some conference call and you can sound...
I'm on it. I'm efforting as we speak.
You're in. I can tell. Indiana, team, you know, one of the keys in the tournament, you know, people talk about guard play, but I also think the ability to play at two speeds. They don't know how to play two speeds. They only play one.
I have Indiana going out second round to NC State.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Indiana, you know, there's something about them in late game situations. I just don't like that. It seems to me they're unable to get the shot that they want in late game situations. I know Cody Zeller gets a layup on the right block against Michigan, but like we talked about, Michigan, you know, not so much with defense. Indiana, with a team that talented and that deep offensively, I think that they should be able to get any shot they want, but they don't seem to late in games. Now that concerns me in the tournament, and when you got a team like NC State and CJ Leslie and the guards that they have, I think that they could cause, and NC State has the ability to play a much more physical style that Indiana hasn't liked in Big Ten season play.
Interesting. Now, a team that actually can play at two speeds, and you don't think so until you actually watch what Bo does, is that the first 15 seconds? I'm sorry, the first 10 seconds of the shot clock. If they have something quick hit, they take it. Last 10 seconds, then they'll try to do some damage if they don't get the quick hits. The middle 15 where they do nothing. Okay, but they actually do play two speeds. Wisconsin. They're an interesting team.
They are, and I have them late beating Gonzaga late, and Bo Ryan, you can't really go wrong if you trust in Bo Ryan. The way he coaches, I think he's the X factor for them. And it's Wisconsin, a team without their point guard to start the season, but Ben Bruss is playing really well, really shooting the ball well. Bergeron is a versatile guy. He's a 7-footer, 6'11", 7", but he can put it on the floor, and he'll raise up and dunk on you. He can step outside. The big guy, power forward, his name is
Brusewitz. Brusewitz.
The other guy.
You're talking about Sam Decker?
Evans.
Sam Decker, Evans. Not Carrot Top?
Evans.
Oh, Ryan Evans. Ryan Evans. Flat
They're
top.
Deep. They're deep.
Flat Top.
Flat Top and Carrot Top. I like that. They should
Flat Top and Carrot Top. Ryan Evans, nobody wanted to recruit him. He only had one other offer when he was coming out of Phoenix. And Bo saw something in him. He can't shoot threes, but he does all the dirty work. He is such a guy.
He does.
You can't win unless you have a Ryan Evans.
Absolutely. And he's a versatile guy, 6'9", can pump fake you, put it on the floor, get to the rim, did that in the Big Ten championship game there. He could be an X factor. They're going to need something from him offensively, but like you said, he does the dirty work. I like Wisconsin. I like Wisconsin in this tournament the way it sets up.
Here is a popular pick, and I'm going to bring up an interesting point about this popular pick. Florida has not won a single
game this season decided by 9 points or less.
Wow.
Okay, that's a lot. Man, not 4 points or less, or 5 or 6 points or less. They haven't won a single game this season decided by 9 points or less, and they only have one win by 10 points. How about that one?
Wow. Yeah, that's enough. See, Steve, this is why when I first talked, I gave you right now, this is my tournament. This is my Final Four. And so now you're throwing me out some information about Florida, and I like it. And so now I'm kind of scared of them. And, you know, you bring up a great point. If you're not winning close games, then how can I trust you in the tournament? You have to be able to do that in the tournament. Because in tournament play, it's going to grind down to a halt. It's going to be a possession game. And if I'm going to pick a team, I need them to have done this before. I don't want it to be the first time that you're in this situation and it's the tournament, because that pressure can swallow you up.
Well, when we have you back next week, we'll find out exactly what your revised right now happens to be. How about that?
All right,
I bet
good.
He has all the Sweet 16 teams right next week. He'll revise it so much.
Absolutely.
Aaron, it's always a pleasure, and you do a great job covering college basketball for the Saturday Daily Times. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
Aaron Carter, basketball writer, Center Daily Times. I'm in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Hilscher's General Store hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store, located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove and Routes 11 and 15. You want to get a good look at what they have there? You can by going to www.hilscherstore.com. Danny and I will come back in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome back. Mark Brennan, Fight On State, next half hour. Danny and I will then knock it around a bit in the final half hour with your calls at 1-800-795-9565 on the Hilscher's General Store hotline. And we love your calls. Love when we have the audience participation part. In fact, to me, I get a chance, obviously, on this show to talk to a lot of great people. I don't care whether we've had Tim Brando on or Bill O'Brien. To Dave Refson, to Patrick Chambers, to Dave Paulson, to Joe Susan. We've gone national so many times with various individuals. Patrick McEnroe from the Australian Open. We're going to go to the U.S. Open this year. But the favorite part of the show is the part where I talk with you. When you call in and we knock it around a bit and I hear your opinions, or if you have a question, that's the part I enjoy more than anything else. Yes, it's great talking to guests, because, I mean, so many of the guests, you know, are people that are along the line of our friends. Like, I mean, Mark Brennan and I have known each other for almost 30 years now, and Mark's going to be on the next half hour. Aaron Carter and I are friends. I mean, so, yeah, I have a lot of friends on the show. Chris Wheeler, when Wheels is on the show, what it's like to have him on the show. But the favorite part of the show for me is when I talk with you. And you can phone in and we can talk about it and get your thoughts at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565 on the Pilsher's General Store Hotline. Kevin is on vacation. I know there's been some thought out there that maybe we jettisoned him, but that is not true. Danny's done a great job filling in this week, but it is only in a fill-in mode.
Have we heard from Kevin yet on his vacay in Myrtle Beach?
He did text me on Sunday. No, he texted me Monday morning. He had a question. But that's been it. We have not heard from him since. And the longer it goes, the better your odds are of being permanent co-host. All right, let's see. Butler, Creighton, Xavier, they're all going to join the Big East. I want to tell you this. The Atlantic 10 people were furious with the Butler thing. Furious. And the reason they are furious about it is that they went to the Atlantic 10 as a safe haven for a year, and then after 1 year, bagged them. So, that is interesting.
Would those be the three teams you would have taken if you were the Big East, or would you have tried to go for somebody else instead of, say, Butler or Creighton?
Oh, no, no, no. They're trying to keep it within the Catholic school realm. And they're not done yet.
Is Butler a Catholic school?
I believe... That's a really good question. But I believe they might be.
I'm going to do some research on that.
But Dayton is another one that I know they're looking at. They have their contract with Fox... Fox wants them to have 12 schools. So now with these three, they're at 10. So that's where they are. Then because they completed that deal with Fox. And that new F1 channel, which is currently Speed, that's going to become Fox 1, or F1, I guess. That's where they want to put the inventories on that channel. They want that channel to challenge ESPN. And they want them to get two more schools if possible.
You think they go after the A-10 again?
Dayton's a possibility. But Villanova is not going to allow another Philly school in. How about that?
Yeah, they were already angry enough when Temple joined the Big East.
Right, they didn't want that to happen. Did not want that to happen. So, and that's what's kept them out of the Big East until now. I mean, they were there for football. You notice Temple was never there for basketball. Never there. Now, Butler's independent, co-educational. They're not affiliated religiously. But they're good enough to play hoops, so they're in. Okay. Now, here's an interesting question. What does the NCAA do? All right. And here's why. When the America 12 begins play next year, do they add another team to the NCAA tournament or two?
I don't see it. I think they just add and just take away an at-large. At this point, especially the last couple of years have shown, I think, also how weak the bubble has been. I think the only
Danny?
The only rational thing to do, not to say that they will do the rational thing, but is to just switch the one at large into an automatic.
Danny? I'm not so sure about that.
I guess it's more me hoping.
I'm not so sure, because when the Mountain West split from the WAC, they went to 65 teams. Now they have 37 at-large spots. So you're going to take an at-large spot away? I think it's a question that hasn't been asked yet, and I'm surprised it hasn't been asked.